Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hello, we are back. It is Wednesday. It is time for part two of our Psychedelics in the Beehive episode with Sarah, the co-founder of the Divine Assembly Mushroom Church and the founding director of the Psychedelics in the Beehive Winter Festival in Salt Lake City. So today we talk a little bit more about that RFRA Act from Utah, which was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that her husband was involved in. We also talk about the definitions of safety and sincerity in regards to that act. Some of the requirements of the Divine Assembly, including safety and sincerity, but also a personal creed, which are becoming like really popular and sounds like a very interesting part of the church. We talk about what ceremonies, medicinal plant medicine ceremonies are like as someone who is on the spectrum. She drops this bomb that she's actually an atheist, which makes this whole conversation super interesting. She's, I feel like, a spiritual atheist. She's maybe she would say that she doesn't feel exactly like that. But yeah, she says she's an atheist, identifies as an atheist. We get into the details about the psychedelics in the Beehive Festival, which I'm really excited to tell you all about. It is January 24th through 26th of 2025 in Salt Lake City. It used to be a conference. This year, it's turning into a festival event. It includes discussions, experiences, music, family-friendly days, and then 21 and over evenings. There's golden ticket events, which include more music, a psychedelic circus, which sounds really intriguing. And then she gives us her insight and thoughts on how psychedelics can contribute to our lives. So this time, you want to make sure that you are visiting the Psychedelics in the Beehive website, and it is a .org and a .com. If you navigate to psychedelicsinthebeehive.com, it'll redirect you to the .org. And stay tuned for the Spirituality What specific promo discount code. With that, we are going to get to it.
And he passed that law. It's actually one of the most robust laws in the country, and especially for a red state, it's really amazing that that happened. So in his toolbox, he knew about this RFRA law, and he was saying, that's the way we're going to do this. It's you, and the courts look at two things. They look if you are sincere, and they look if you're being safe. So yeah, so he was excited, saying this is going to provide the coverage we want. We're sincere. We're having the most spiritual experiences of our lives, and we were being very, very safe. So we started going down that road, and I was like, we spent a lot of time looking at other options, and we couldn't find any. So in 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, we started the Divine Assembly, and we were just talking about trying to move these experiences up out of the basements and into the light. And if people follow these certain, you know, we're kind of guessing what things courts might think. We know what safety looks like, right? If you are not being safe, you should not have protections. We feel the same as the courts. There's just no question. But what does sincerity look like? How do you prove sincerity? And so we're coming up with some things. Here are some ways. You know, we're asking people, nothing's mandatory. Everybody gets to do their own, you know, have their own spiritual journey. But we're giving some suggestions. Things like being a card-carrying member might be, you know, mean something to a judge. Write in your personal creed. And then that actually is becoming your personal scripture. This is what I believe. A lot of creeds that people are writing don't even mention plant medicine. They don't mention mushrooms. They don't mention any of the others, because that's not the most important thing. That's a tool that gets them to this spiritual place. And so some do, and that's great too. You know, they're really looking for protection. So there's not a right or wrong on that, but it's really beautiful reading people's creeds. It becomes kind of poetry. And so that's been fun. So we are 4 years in. We have about 20,000 members. And
holy shit, I don't know why that seems like a really large number. Congratulations. And look at all those 20,000 people. If you are a part of the divine assembly, like, congratulations.
Yeah, it's pretty great. And they come from every state in the union. There's actually people on multiple continents, which makes me laugh, because I'm like, we can help people with, because we understand United States law. We don't understand all the, but if they want to be a part of it, we want them to be, right? So there's no right or wrong on that either. In fact, our one tenet is that each individual can commune with the divine and receive guidance.
I love that.
That's it. It has nothing to do with plant medicine, but it's, what is your connection to the divine, and what does the divine want you to do?
Yeah.
And that removes all gatekeepers, mediators, weird gurus, or cult leaders. Where if you're headed down that path, you're no longer really tapping into the one tenet that is the divine assembly, right? So I feel like that is a way that people can protect themselves. Yeah. And it's, so far it's working pretty well. There are lots of people who want us to just tell them what to believe and what to do. And we're like, no, we're not, that's not our kind of church. You're going to have to figure that out on your own.
Yeah. So what I think I hear you saying is, like, you guys are more like coaches.
Yeah.
You're like coaching people.
I'm not
people.
Even sure I'd say that.
Yeah. Like, but I mean, coaches provide tools, right?
Sure.
Coaches provide and facilitate experiences,
yes,
and groupings and connection and networking. And like, so I don't, that's pretty cool. Like you're giving people kind of like a guidebook sort of, and a place where they can connect with like-minded individuals to sort of make their own decisions where, you know, maybe you have conversations about it and discussions,
right,
but that's cool.
Yeah. So when we meet, we do have some groups that gather pretty much every week. All of our meetups are sober. What we're doing is asking people to get together and then decide who you want to worship with, and gather in small groups in your home, worship that way.
Nice.
I think it's a better way to connect in the medicine,
yeah,
or the sacrament. We use all the names, but it's, you know, it's rather than a room full of 300 people and we're passing out mushrooms, that's just unsafe as can be, right?
Yeah.
And if our one of our main things is safety, we're just not going to do that.
Yeah. And I think I like when you said before that, like, and I think one of the reasons I've not been inclined to do ayahuasca before is because all of the environments that everyone who's talked to me about it prior to you were, I did it in this group of 20 people that I'd never met before. And I'm like, I mean, I use psychedelics more in a ceremonial fashion than any other kind of fashion. And there's usually less than like 4 people. And I just can't, if you haven't done psychedelics before, all the energies around you impact your trip. And if there's people that you don't know, you just don't know what's going to come up, right? It's not that it will be bad necessarily. It could be ecstatic, but it's just,
it's
a risk. It's just a risk,
yeah,
that's out there when you're doing psychedelics with a ton of other people in potentially unknown environments, right? And a small group of people that you know in somebody's home, super safe,
yeah,
usually really cozy. Like, I love that.
And there are lots of beautiful ways to do it. But yeah, if there's any element of where someone's feeling unsafe, then yeah, it's something's wrong with that. Yeah. And you know, just step out of it.
And just to be clear, like those retreat centers where they have 20 or 25 people, they are safe. They run like most of those, you know, they are running them and trying to be safe. It's just a different kind of environment. And as Sarah said, like not everybody's into that. And I don't think I'm into that either. Right. Yeah.
And other things to take in mind, and this takes us a step away from spirituality, but still it's a practical element. So I'm going to throw it in.
Do it.
I'm autistic, which is kind of a new thing to me in the last few years. Also, it came out of COVID. But my group ceremonies, I have done a few, and I find them extremely distracting. Someone's burning sage, and it's just this high sensory moment. Someone's playing a harp, and it pulls me out of the medicine to that spot. And if I'm having really beautiful thoughts, I just keep getting yanked around in that ceremony. Someone's crying over there.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, my concern for her takes me away from my own work.
Your own journey. Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, I've learned that my most healing experiences are either in my own home or in an extremely small group. So just something. Now, I will also say my husband, again, who wants everything, he loves those groups.
He feels
like he's connected to these people. They've just gone through a battle together.
Yeah.
He comes home every time with 10 new best friends. And it's the cutest thing. That is not my vibe.
That's awesome.
That is not what I want.
Yeah.
There's not a right or wrong.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
There's what works for him and what works for me. Those are separate things.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm curious, going back to, you said something about being an atheist. So was that before, or are you an atheist
now?
No,
it's a funny thing. And I think I'm an atheist. Mm. I don't believe there is a dude in the sky with a big long beard who created our earth. It's what I said earlier at the very start, where I said, I think spirituality is our best self,
yeah.
Right? Well, if it's coming from inside instead of externally, then am I an atheist? I mean, and it's the weirdest thing, because I'm a pretty staunch atheist that started a mushroom church sincerely, and I can hold both of those.
Yeah.
How does that work? I don't know. I don't know. But is it what I'm done doing is trying to figure out the answer that people want to hear.
I was like, who cares?
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
This is my truth. And
like, it's freaking awesome.
How does it work? I'm still figuring that out. But it sits comfortably in my heart and in my mind. And so I'm just running with it.
I love it. I did an episode with some friends, some atheist friends, on atheism and spirituality. And I toyed with the idea as well of, like, I also don't believe in like a God. I very much believe in energy though. Right. And I can't see energy. Sometimes you can, but like generally I can't see energy with my, you know, 3D human eyeballs. But it is everywhere, and it does connect to everything. And so I think I might be a spiritual atheist. Like that. And I like, you know, I was on Reddit, like that's a legit thing, you know, I'm just like, but there's like, energy is science. Like it's real. It's not like this humdrum, like woo woo thing. Like it's actual measurable, you know? So it's just an interesting idea. It's an interesting idea. Yeah. I love that.
Well, and my thinking is, I think we're early stages. We're saying energy, which I agree with you. You can feel the energy shift in a room. You can, you know, there are things that happen where there's energy out there. But over time, as that gets studied, will it have 10 different definitions and meanings?
Yeah.
Energy in the room is different than spiritual energy, which is different than the energy we feel out in nature, or is it all the same?
Yeah.
I actually don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody does right now, yeah. but I think we're all trying to yeah. put definitions, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, cool. So we've kind of gotten to more now, time frame of now, and you are, in addition to running a mushroom church, you are the co-founder of the Psychedelics in the Beehive conference festival. Talk to me about like how you came up with that, how we got to this, and then correct me on the conference festival thing there.
I have been an event planner for decades. So that's what I do. That doesn't go away as my spiritual journey changes or adjusts. My husband is a lawyer. That is the thing he is first before anything else. We're nobody's spiritual guides. We're nobody's gurus or leaders. We're building a community. We feel strongly about that. But part of it is always, how do I turn this into an event? Because that just is the love of my life.
Totally.
And early on, we actually did Psychedelics in the Beehive online for 2 years with about 70 to 100 people.
Okay.
Then we did it in person 3 years. We had 350 people. Oh, sorry, 200 people, 350 people. And then last year we had 1,500 people. And
wow.
Paul Stamets, who's a big name in psychedelia and mushrooms, came and spoke. And
awesome.
These were all conferences. And in the midst of the January event, I was saying, you know what? We need to not just be talking about psychedelics. We need to have more, we need to have some fun here as well.
Nice.
So in the midst of it, I was like, this has to become a festival. And a lot of festivals exist in the summer. A lot of them are out in the middle of mountains or, deserts. But I wanted an urban festival in the middle of winter, in the middle of the mountains in Utah. So downtown Salt Lake City, we have, it's happening in this coming January 24th through 26th. We have about 20 venues in place, small and large, for lots of different experiences. We definitely have speakers and panels where we're going to discuss some of this, some great researchers coming in to talk about what they're learning. But then we're also doing a lot of interactive experiences. We're going to have a lot of music. And it's just chance after chance, venue after venue, to see something new, something different, something exciting. And all of it in this, related to psychedelics. During the day, it is family friendly because we're in Utah and we want to take our kids to everything. So that will happen, but after 6 p.m., everything is 21 and older. Not that it's going to change much. It just, some people would rather have kids around, some don't. So we're catering to both. It's, it's kind of a fun experience to try this. So in some ways, this is our first festival. In other ways, this is like our sixth Psychedelics in the Beehive.
Yeah.
So it's hard to count. It's hard to know, but we're just really excited about how it's coming together.
So you said, I'm just trying to, so it's 2024 right now, right? You said you did the ayahuasca in 2017 and you've been doing this for 6 years. So the second time you did ayahuasca, you were like, we got to get this stuff out there, but you hadn't started your mushroom church yet.
No. So the Mushroom Church started in 2020 and the Psychedelics in the Beehive started also in 2020.
Oh, in 2020. Okay, cool.
So we did a couple within, So
multiple in 1 year. Gotcha.
Nice. Yeah, so.
That makes sense.
Once we started doing them in person, they became annual events.
That's so cool. I would just say, like, as somebody, I've only ever been to like an EDM festival. I live in Colorado. I go to Red Rocks. Like, that's kind of like a festival, but it's usually only one night. But in my experience, at least the EDM festivals I've been to, there are a lot of other things. There's talks and cacao ceremonies and yoga and all of like this other stuff. But I haven't had the experience of music and like discussions. Like, it's a really intriguing idea to have open conversations about psychedelics at a music festival or a psychedelic music festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it's kind of fun because yeah, it's the emphasis isn't necessarily the music. The emphasis isn't necessarily the speakers. It's all of it. Right. And that's why I'm saying this isn't a conference anymore. It's something bigger than that. And the best word I could come up with is festival. So, yeah. But I think that's what it is. And to all my lovely friends, and I even host a summer festival where we camp and do the whole thing. If I can sleep in a bed at night,
I'm with you, girl.
That's going to be my preference. I do a few summer things, but I'm like, let's do this winter festival and let's see what it feels like to have, you know, go to bed at night and wake up the next morning feeling refreshed, and we get to start the day anew. And yeah, it just, yeah, festivals don't have to be dirty and exhausting. And again, no judgment if, because I know there are going to be listeners and even some of my friends who are like, that's the best part.
I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I want a shower.
I'm like, I've been covered in mud in Alaska before. Like,
So we're going to try it. We're getting some buy-in from the city, from the county, from groups around here, where I'm saying this really could become a beautiful festival if everybody wants to jump on board. So we're hoping to sell between 3,000 and 5,000 tickets this year. Nice. And tickets are selling. It's kind of fun to see that happening. So
I love that for you. But I also, like, in my experience, my festival, like, now I'm wondering, like, you know, my phone's on an airplane mode, so I can't look it up right now. But I'm wondering, like, what is the definition of a festival anyway? Like, maybe it's broader anyway than what we've sort of come to believe that it means currently. But also, I love the education. I love the classes. Like, I love the extra stuff outside of the music when I'm at festivals. And as I say, one of the festivals I've heard that has a lot of extra stuff is Envision, for example, in Costa Rica. It's an EDM festival. I think it's like 15,000 people. I'm not exactly sure, but it's in March. It's in the beginning of March.
Okay.
I don't know that they have stuff about psychedelics, but I've heard they have like a womb healing tent and like all of this other stuff that isn't just music. It's about connection. It's about self. It's about discovery or whatever. So I love that you have that. I love that there's an opportunity. I love a bed. I freaking love a bed. So I'm like, I get to stay in a hotel even? Like, that sounds like an awesome experience. What's one of the speakers or parts of the festival that you're most looking forward to this year?
So we're excited about a couple of things that are happening at night. So during the day, you can walk from venue to venue, come and go as you please. We'll be showing movies. We'll have some comedy, all of the things that I think are kind of fun and tied to psychedelics. But at night, you choose an activity. So you're choosing music, or you're choosing, you know, an experience. And we have them listed. We're calling them golden tickets. It's not an additional cost. If you buy a ticket, you get to choose one of these things. We have a medicine musician named East Forest. He's coming, and he just creates music during the event. And it's really beautiful. And he's been to Salt Lake a few times, and people just love him. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. We're also putting together what we're calling the psychedelic circus. And it's really kind of a circus. And it's got a nod toward all the things that you would find at a traditional circus, but a little bit turned on its ear. And it's going to be a really fun experience for the people who get a ticket to that.
Yeah.
So what we're hoping to do is there are enough wonderful activities in the evening that you're really sad you can only choose one per night.
Yeah.
You know, we want them to be that good that people are like, oh, I had to pick.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea of like making a commitment. I'm with you. Like, I like checklists and plans. And I went to a festival actually that had an app recently, and I could like you didn't have to like get tickets, but I could like heart the tea ceremony, and I could heart the cacao ceremony and the things that I wanted to do. And I would get notifications when things were coming up. Cause you know, it can be hard to keep your wits about you sometimes when you are sleeping between 4 in the morning and 10 in the morning. Sometimes. A psychedelic circus. That sounds really intriguing. Yeah.
We are having this team I have. We're really having a lot of fun bouncing back and forth between what could this be and then putting our heads down and actually getting it done. It's a lot of work and, like I keep saying, a lot of fun. We're having a ball.
That's awesome. I'm like definitely intrigued. Your website's pretty cool too. You can see a lot of good information on the website, which is give us a reminder of that website.
Psychedelicsinthebeehive.com or .org. Either will get you there.
.org.
Psychedelicsinthebeehive. It is funny. As often as I type psychedelics every single day, I misspell it every time.
I love that. Ladies and gentlemen. She is human. Welcome to humanity.
So, psychedelics in the beehive.
That's so cool. So,
yeah.
I guess with all of your experience with psychedelics, with all of your experience now in this sort of facilitation, networking, sort of sharing, do you have any insight, or what is your insight into how psychedelics contribute to people's lives?
Oh, I think people come to psychedelics for one of three reasons.
Okay.
They come for healing, therapy, you know, they want to heal mentally. They come for spiritual reasons. You know, whether they mean to or not, they can have an extremely spiritual experience. And then for creativity or fun, that's the third reason. And as I've been watching people now for a number of years, I don't think there's a wrong reason. You can come for any of those three or a mix of them. What I do recommend is for a while I was taking it so seriously and I was only doing it for therapy and a little bit of spirituality. And then I had an experience with one of my children and we sat together and we had the most fun. We laughed for 5 hours and it was so healing. It was so wonderful that I was like, oh, I've been judgmental. I've been putting my dogma on people that you shouldn't be having fun with these. You should only be taking them very seriously. But laughing and creativity, that's a form of healing. So
totally.
If any of those things are calling to you, and I to use that phrase again, so the therapy or healing, spirituality or creativeness or fun, then those are all things psychedelics can bring into your life. And it's really powerful and really beautiful.
I love that. That was such a great answer, Sarah. Thank you so much. I love that. Well, we are basically at time today. Of course, this is what happens when we're having cool, authentic, wonderful conversations. The time just flies. We got the website already. If people wanted to find out or more information outside of the website, do you have like Instagram or email? Like, what other ways can people get in contact with you?
Yes. If they find us on the website, all of our social media handles are there. There's a way to email us right from the website. So the website's going to be the best place to go. And we're, as November hits, oh, that's tomorrow, we're going to be adding more and more information. We're getting good confirmations from people, and we can start to announce more and more of those. But yeah, follow us on Insta. You can find us on Facebook if anybody's still there. And yeah, we're on TikTok. You know, we're in all the traditional places, or the more common spaces. But yeah, come find us and then come to the event. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'd love to have anybody there who wants to be there.
Yeah, yeah. And a reminder, the dates of the event are the 24th through the 26th of next year. Well, Sarah, thank you so much. Yes, January 24th and 25th. Thank you so much for all of your time today. This was a really great conversation. I had a wonderful time.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, Rebecca.
All right, that is a wrap. Thank you, Sarah, so much. So excited to tell everybody that I will be attending the Psychedelics in the Beehive event in Salt Lake City in January as a podcaster. If you're interested, come and check it out. I will be releasing the collaboration promo code for a discount on tickets later this week on Instagram. So stay tuned, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you for joining me on today's spirituality adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.